Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's over. The Euro is done. The Copa is done. Brendan Dunlop, James Sharman, Craig Forrest, and Dan Wong can finally take a breath. Because there is nothing happening in the world of professional... Sorry, what? Gold what? Gold... Oh, God. The Gold Cup. I mean, okay, sure. I guess the Gold Cup's... Okay, well... All right, guys, back to work. Every day, you know, the snap, snap, snap. This is Footy Pride in the podcast. Let's get this party started.
Yes, welcome to Footy Prime, the podcast no longer doing the Euros. Thank you, JC. And yes, we're all still trying to move on from the pain, from the rawness. It's slowly getting better. Nigel apologized to me, so that's the main reason. But regardless, Euros finished as well. And we are moving forward, trying to find a way through, navigate through the waters of the Gold Cup. As we speak right now, in fact, as we are about to tape, the Gold Cup continues with Canada in action against Haiti, minus about 22 members of its squad through COVID protocols or something. But regardless, we're back for one last time before a bit of a summer siesta before the European season kicks back into action. Then, of course, the huge World Cup qualifiers. I'm Sharman Wonga Dunlop. JC's still here, and somewhere at some point, Craig Forrest may or may not join us.
Hey, guys, it's me, Craig Forrest. I'm really excited. My camera's not working. I'm stuck there in the car, but I'm really excited to be here. You know, I'll just lay back and not talk for a while.
Wait a minute. Craig Forrest was part of the Trailer Park Boys. You sounded just like Bubbles there.
We both have windows. We're selling, you know, the windows to the world.
That's Craig's a pretty a good one, actually.
He's got a tough voice, though, isn't he, Craig, to impersonate?
Yeah, you know what? You got it, but you got to copy mannerisms. So what you could have really sold that would just like finish a generic sentence, be like, yeah, I was just working with and the lean back laugh. Because he does have like a... And then,
he's a lean back laugher, isn't he?
He's a lean back laugher, but it's also high, too. So it's like, yeah, I can't believe Dunny actually runs at men's league. Right? It's like a high... And it's kind of like a bullet laugh.
You know what you need also? You need every after every sentence...
Yeah.
It also feels like it's a bit delayed. Like it takes a while for that answer... to get through something working in the brain. It's like a 7-second delay. And then that's why we always talk over each other during the show.
And we can blame Zoom or Restream, whatever program we're using. But in fact, it's just the enormous amounts of weed that Craig smokes. Everything's delayed a little bit.
This whole time I thought it was the internet, but you're right. This is the cleanest we've ever spoken with each other.
Yeah, it is. No Dickio yet either. Where the hell's Dickio? He's back. He's back in Dodge. I know that
Mexico. Mexico. He's not. He's not back.
He's not back here.
Eh? I mean, he would race over here to be with us, wouldn't he?
I think in his defense, he just got back from what was it? Two months in Arizona, Mexico, wherever. And I think his family's demanding a bit of his attention because apparently we're not his family. It's more important family out there for Danny. But in the coming weeks, as we move into our third season, Wonga. Third season. Wow. Big news coming shortly, by the way, regarding that. Danny will be back with us. And Craig, perhaps.
That's the big news.
I did get a message from Craig that landed on my phone that said, "Oh, fack." And he wrote fack with F-A-C-K.
Oh, fack.
So either he's going to join us soon, or he's got a flat tire and is trying to fix it.
He thought it was tomorrow. Definitely thought we're recording tomorrow.
Well, let's start things off, shall we, with some Euro talk. I know it's let's not discuss specifics necessarily, given that it's old now. But let me pose this question to the three of you. Should England, the country, be hated by the world?
I'll go first. I think that England, in a lot of ways, doesn't help themselves having the worldview that the English often do. Certainly, the view about the world's game that the English do, they don't help themselves. So when the English support staff, that is English people, I don't want to say fans, but English people, tarnish the game and make it look bad, it's very easy for the world to jump on and hate them. The synergy between stereotypical Americans sometimes and stereotypical English sporting fans is very, very similar and striking can be at times. So, yeah, I think it's really unfortunate how things played out with the gate crashing that happened at Wembley and, of course, the racism that followed. But I also think that, over the course of the month, England really kind of came together as a nation in a lot of ways, too. And I think that the backlash to a lot of those things was a lot louder than I think it may have been, in the past as well. So there were some positives to come away from some glaring negatives, I think.
It's so sad that the positives of the previous month, which was pretty compelling as a sports fan, how this England team brought the nation together, or so we thought, provided some great moments. Whether football was coming home or not is all irrelevant. It's a great, great song, number one. But there was a togetherness that we haven't seen for a long time, and the most likable English team that I can remember in my history. But all that's been overshadowed because of what happened at Wembley, and of course, as B mentioned there, the social media racists attacking those poor three kids. But what is galling to me is just how goddamn predictable it all was. I knew it wouldn't be smooth, right? Win or lose, there was going to be issues either in the stadium or outside the stadium. And win or lose, there was going to be massive issues in social media because it's sadly an extremely loud minority. And the minority is not actually that small either, unfortunately, in that country. So it's predictable, yet it still happened. And that's what's galling to me, that the authorities didn't see fit to prepare themselves for this.
Yeah.
Sharms, when you feel like this and you go, oh, this is predictable, there's two things I wanted to ask you. One is about it's coming home. Like the arrogance to say, oh, that is home. That is where doesn't that bother you a little bit?
It's not arrogance. It's not arrogance. That's been really over dissected throughout this tournament by other nations who were a bit concerned about how good England was becoming, right? It's not arrogance. It's just a good song. That's all it is. All right. It's catchy and it's fun to sing in the stands. We all know football's not coming home. Where the hell is home for football? Right, I think actually the Chinese invented football, Wonga. It wasn't the English. There's evidence of them kicking a ball around the town square well before England existed.
Our noodles. The Italians stole our friggin' noodles and gunpowder, fireworks.
And pizza.
The Chinese, the most underappreciated nation in the world for that exact reason. Pizza, okay, spaghetti, so and football.
When they do what they did, and the racism and the gate crashing, like B just talked about, when that actually is seen at, when does it get seen as, oh my God, this is embarrassing? Is it ever embarrassing anymore? Or does embarrassment get pushed down now? Or it doesn't matter?
It matters. I mean, Sharms can speak to this in being English and being an expat, but yeah, absolutely it matters. I think that you saw from, the reaction of how many people were so vocal on television immediately after it happened or during, very critical, of the politicians who were being hypocrites and coming out and, denouncing said action when they were, you know, dog whistling for the 3 weeks beforehand. I think that alone shows that people don't want to tolerate it. But how do you stop it? It's the age old question. You know, what more can be done? Obviously, a lot needs to be done.
It's exhausting. It's just exhausting. It's like being at a bar, right? You've had a really good night with your mates, and at the end of the night, some idiot at some other table starts something for no reason other than he can't handle his booze. It's like, you know, you're going to piss all over my night now. I don't want this. I don't want to be involved in a fracas. I want to just have the last little drink with my friend and go home quietly and peacefully after a nice, fun night with my mates. Instead, you also are ruining it for me and my table. It's the same as that, just on a much, much, much bigger scale. And I don't know what the solution is. It's just that class, that segment of British culture is there. And it's always been there. Maybe it will always be there. But the fact that we didn't see it coming, the authorities, the police, the staff at Wembley didn't see it coming. Like, for Christ's sakes, where have you been for the previous 1,000 years?
Specific to the gate crashers, though, and not seeing, you know, that inevitability. I tweeted on the Footy Prime account just before kickoff, I think, well, one of the main videos, which was an aerial shot of gates being overrun. And I felt so bad for the stewards. You know, was quite a few visible vests in this crowd, but there was considerable, you know, 10 times more people rushing through, steamrolling through.
It was a Capitol riot, right?
It did That's look a bit like that. Me of. Yeah. Except some of the stewards were fighting back. There was one in an orange vest that was slide tackling and the deep leg kicking that I really felt for. But at the same time, I thought, you know, these stewards are making 12 pounds an hour, 15 pounds an hour, completely unprepared, unsupported for this. And you've got, the lowest and some of the worst people in society blasting through trying to get into the ground without having bought a ticket. It's typically English, which is unfortunate. And I thought it was something that, was buried in the past and could have been avoided and prevented. And sadly, it wasn't on the biggest stage.
So these idiots, right? These idiots are young men, right? Who are, whether you like it or not, they are fans of English football, right? They want to see England win, right? They watch the games. They may have their club affiliations as well. But they are, I hate to say, no, they are fans. People want to say, oh, they're not real fans. They are fans, okay? So in their lifetime, they've never seen England in a final ever, right? This is a momentous occasion. And they're going to risk getting locked up and thrown in jail before the game starts? What are they thinking? I mean, I like my drinks. I have one right now, actually. A nice Pinot Grigio. I never get that drunk, ever. Maybe it's just I'm a decent human being, but I would know that maybe I should enjoy myself after the match and then let loose a little bit. But to do it and risk missing this moment that you may never, ever see again because in the previous 45 years of your life, it hasn't happened. Staggers belief. It really does. Hey, Craig, are you there? Can you hear us? Of course not.
He just texted me and said, hey, I'm on.
Oh, there he is. Craig, so listen, you lived in England longer than me. All right. What is wrong with you people?
Isn't it something? I mean, honestly, it goes back years and years, really, culturally with the English. I mean, even I think back at the FA Cup, West Ham, when in 1923, they have no idea how many people were in that stadium. Mind you, they're a little bit better behaved, I think, you know, but for the most part.
Yeah, most of those poor guys are either coming back from a war or we're going to a war in a few years later. Can you imagine that rabble on Saturday being told, oh, by the way, fellas, now you must fight a war for our honor. God help us all. We'd all be speaking German by now.
Did you see the wars? The wars that were being fought, though, in the concourse? I saw one gate in particular, one entrance that was being overrun. And the fans in the concourse, like the ticket-paying fans, were immediately up for a fight. I literally heard, Annie, oh my bear. And this guy goes over and just clocks one of the unsuspecting, I guess they should have been prepared for it, but one of the gate crashers just clocked him in the face. And then you had all these ticket payers, having a go at these gate crashers. It was incredible television.
Did you see the steward that was hacking people down with his kicking people?
We were just talking about him. Yeah, that was I shared that on the Footy Prime account. That was
the best really solid, Stuart. Of course.
Yeah.
It's a good Twitter handle that. You guys should look at it. It's awesome.
Thanks, Craig.
What's the handle like?
We should put it on Footy Prime.
What is the handle like? Stuart Kicky Person? What is it?
I can't remember. But this guy was just hacking people down.
He was talking about best. He's talking about us, Footy underscore Prime, our Twitter account. That was the Twitter handle that's worth a follow.
Yeah, not as much as the tiny car, tiny Euro car.
That's got the soccer balls in.
Yeah, it's got thousands of followers. That might be the lasting image for me, beyond everything, beyond Christian Eriksen, and beyond Italy, Spain in that semifinal, beyond the kicks. It's that little car, I think, you know. Zipping out.
It'll stick with me, Sharms. It'll that tweet when you said Giovinco.
Hey, that's Lena Wacko's
little special
car. Hi. Can you
sorry to cut you off there, Forrest. I was trying to be secretive, but a woman shows up on the show and
that's so okay.
This Elena's our first female guest in the whole history of the show, I think.
So, yeah, Elena's our first female guest, but Wonger had asked a question previously about It's Coming Home, and he asked if Sharms was annoyed by it, by the arrogance. But, like, it affects football culture, you know? Like, it this time, it wasn't just an English thing. Like, it permeated across borders. It was very much like a mainstream thing. Anyone who knew the Euros was going on knew it was coming home and it was English, even if they had no affiliation. So I just want to give you an example of how deeply rooted it was by passing the microphone to my wife to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
Oh, can we share these?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm in a beautiful deep slumber. This was the night of the final. Big day. Deep in slumber, it was probably right before 4 a.m. and I wake up with a start because my husband enters the room frazzled and said, looks at me and he says, it happened. And I look at him and I'm all like confused. And I think, is coming home? And then I look at him and I say, you idiot. Kid's not coming home. Italy won. Can't come home. It's going to Rome. It's in Rome. And he said, are you awake? I was like, yeah, I'm awake, you idiot. He said, Samson got in, just got skunked. Our dog Samson just got skunked.
No.
That's what happened.
Oh, no.
And I went, no!
Oh, no.
I thought that was
going to Rome, and Samson got skunked.
Hey, Elena, can I ask you a question?
Oh, hi. Yeah. How are you, Sharon?
Hey, I'm doing good, thanks. I'm doing great. Lovely to see you, by the way. Lovely to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So that thing beside you used to be called Brendan Dunlop.
Yes, this thing here.
Right, he used to be well-groomed, you know, took great care in his appearance. Now he looks like maybe the douchiest version of Brendan Dunlop I've ever seen in my life. He's got the hair tied back. He's got a Knicks top on?
He's got his Knicks shirt. Yeah. Yeah. He's got the Knicks shirt on.
He looks like one of the members of 98 Degrees who fell off the wagon.
You know, I disagree. I actually think he looks like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Can you look in the camera here?
Well,
look
at that. Bedtime relation fantasies there, Elena.
No, but look at this. And I told him it can't be a top knot. It's got to be a low half pony. And you need
I'll to give
look
you that.
Distressed and say it, honey.
Winter's coming.
He's not Scottish.
His accent's so good.
He's not Scottish.
You guys don't role play, do you? Does he wear that bun up on top or the chest wig?
She's got a blonde wig and a stuffed dragon somewhere.
Yeah, and Brendan plays the midget.
Do you know that Brendan just said to me, okay, thanks, babe. Like, leave now.
Yeah, he's like, tapping you on the leg, isn't he? He's tapping you on the leg.
Yeah, it's just okay. Leave now. I've been here for much too long. I'm sharing too many stories here.
Who's the character that got castrated?
As long as you want.
Who got castrated? I didn't watch it.
Theon. Mm. Oh, that sucked.
You could play that.
But
role,
what a great character arc! That was a great character arc.
It was
that character on that show.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. I recently watched the series finale of that like last month when I was doing a film, and I was distraught for like a few days.
It's profound.
But Brendan keeps it alive for me. He looks like he's got Jon Snow, so he's bringing some joy back. He's reminding me that the series wasn't a complete failure because Jon Snow was great.
Jon Snow is good looking, right?
Very good looking. Mm. Yes.
Hot. See, Craig? Craig's just lining things up right now. He's imagining, being creative.
I'm very happy that Craig's not on camera right now. It's just,
I know.
Craig, God knows what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
He didn't want us to see his weird hanger again with a noose and a belt hanging around, and you don't know what Craig's up to.
Don't do it. Don't do it. They're rebooting Game of Thrones. Don't do it. It's not over yet. Okay, I'm gonna pass the microphone back to
Elena. Brian. Thank you so much, and we hope to hear from your voice soon on this podcast.
Oh yeah, I know. Thanks for having me. What an honor, first female on the show. That's such an honor to tell the It's Coming Home Skunk story.
Yep, you can really brag about that one.
We can cut that and put it on Instagram, and you'll get all these hits.
Yeah,
just watch.
All right, we're gonna do that.
Love that first. Thanks for having me, guys.
Your 2 minutes are over, Elena.
2 minutes
is
over. Yeah, I was like, go, okay, I'm done. I get it. Just too much woman on here. Okay, I gotta go. Okay, bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. The wonderful and talented
you guys
Elena
have the
Walker.
Same hair.
Yeah, we have the same hair right now. Yeah, that was
you guys
fun.
Put it up for fun.
Well, she's getting pretty frustrated. I keep stealing her hair ties. That's for sure.
Oh.
All right, back to the football. I'm kind of Euroed out now. It happened. Well done. Italy won. Best team in the tournament by a mile. England lost. Denmark were the people's champion. Spain surprised us all. Turkey disappointed us. That's pretty much it, right?
What about Holeš Šik, the Czechs?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Worst goal. What was the worst goal that was let in?
Oh, it was the off the goalkeeper.
Slovakia?
Yeah, Slovakia.
What about that? Was it Miller?
Jesus.
Miller, who was way out of his goal and the 48 or 52-yard kick.
Marshall. No, that was the the Patrick Schick. Patrick Schick goal. Sorry. Czech Scotland.
That was a bad goal.
Yeah, Dubrovka. That's the one. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's the one. That's the worst one, right? I think when it came up high and he just basically handballed it back into the goal. That was the worst for sure.
Did you see there was 11 own goals in this tournament?
Yeah.
And in all the previous other Euros, there was only 9, all the previous combined.
Is that fluke, Craig, or is
there
a reason
behind
that?
How many goals you got scored on you, Craig, in one game?
Exactly.
Whoops.
But it wasn't in my own net. That would have been really bad.
There must have been one own goal, though, surely in 9. No?
Nope, there were a couple of penalties, though.
Yeah, that's right. And you saved one, too, didn't you? Or was that a 7-0?
No, that was a 7.
That's 7,
I saved
that's
one
right.
more penalty at Old Trafford than Peter Schmeichel did.
That's amazing.
Wow. Never an own goal, though. Never had a fluke ball come off the bar and crack you in the head and go in.
Nope.
Impressive.
Actually, we're still waiting for one to post on, post on YouTube,
I'm
Craig's
post
worst goal ever.
Stuff. Screw you, Sharms. Stop pressuring me.
Come on.
Our friendship's on the line.
Stop pressuring him.
Still, it was a good tournament. All joking aside, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the domestic season kicking off again. I really am. We did also see another champion crown, by the way, during Euro. We should probably talk about this a little bit, shouldn't we? Copa America. Leo Messi gets that monkey off his back. He's now got as many continental championships as a certain Cristiano Ronaldo, but he's got one more World Cup final. So surely that makes Messi, without doubt, better than Ronaldo, right, B?
Yeah.
Without a doubt. That.
I mean, you know, he may have played all 90 minutes in this Copa America final, but was he really Messi? Did he really contribute to the match, you know, more than Ronaldo did as player and coach to win Euro 2016? I don't know. I think I was pretty happy to see Messi do it, to be honest. And it was special to see how important it was and how special it was for the rest of his teammates. You know, it really was Messi's tournament to win, and he didn't have his best game, and he didn't need to. His teammates stepped up. Di Maria scored a great goal defensively, and even with their question marks and you know, Mr. Nervy, Nicola Otamendi, they were able to get the job done and beat Neymar in Brazil.
How the hell is Otamendi actually a really good player when he failed in the Premier League?
Benfica. He went to Benfica and figured it out.
That's what it was, eh? Okay.
Yep. He and Vertonghen.
Need a little Sagres, and then you're ready to go.
Amazing, though, eh? And even Di Maria. Whenever I see Di Maria like dominate a match or a moment, it reminds me how good he actually is and how so many people have just dismissed Angel Di Maria because of that short stint he had at Manchester United, which wasn't his fault. He is a top-quality player and always plays as an understudy wherever he is to someone else. But my God, on the moment, that guy is money.
It is amazing, right? How a short failed period at Manchester United tarnishes the player's career, and it takes them 10 years in the case of Diego Forlán to wash off that stench where people fully look at them. I mean, I feel like Falcao was thought of like, yeah, good forward. He was a phenomenal forward. Falcao was an unbelievable striker for Porto and for Atletico, and at United it didn't work, sure. But you can't. That doesn't erase how great he was before.
No, no, it does, because if you don't make it in England, you don't count. Right? Renato Sanchez, shit.
Because he didn't make it at Swansea.
Right. Therefore,
you're one of the gatecrashers, aren't you, Sharms?
He's limping right now, Craigor. You got a kick in the right ankle.
Yeah, some arsehole steward was all over me. Yeah, what a prick.
Yeah.
Got a punch in the nose.
Hey, Craig, so Messi signs a five-year deal or is about to sign a five-year deal at Barcelona to stick around. The reports are it's for half the money he was on before because Barca's in so much trouble. But it also means that perhaps Antoine Griezmann may have to leave, with Atletico Madrid being mentioned there, a return with Sol coming back the other way. I don't know. Listen, I guess Barca have little choice, but are they better off? I mean, it's so stupid. We discussed this before, haven't we, Craig, a little bit about Barcelona and their issues and Messi and his age. But he's taking a massive reduction in wages. They're still broke. I mean, I don't know. What's the best outcome here for Barcelona? It's not selling him last year the smart move here.
Yeah, but you gotta think more than that, Charles, when it comes to what Messi means to that club. I honestly think as long as he can walk out on the field, they'll take him. If they don't win titles, I just think he's just, you know, he's not been the game. Nobody is, but he's almost in the position where he can, you know, do whatever he wants if he's fit enough. And it shows a great loyalty as well. I mean, yeah, he looks as though he's not going to win the title somewhere else. And other players have done that, like Ronaldo, of course, in many, many leagues. And but on the other hand, you don't see that one club player very often. And it's pretty impressive what he's done on and off the field when it comes to that.
And the push for the Super League, right? The obsession with the Super League and the desperation from the Spanish clubs and Juventus, who are still hung up on it, is because they needed it. They, you know, the Messi leaving is the signal that the Roman Empire is falling, to give it that grand example. And they can't afford that. So they certainly can't afford paying him, you know, what's probably $34 million a year, million euros a year, because he was reportedly taking in $72 million before. So it's not that they can afford that either, but they couldn't afford the face of, you know, letting him go. They're just going to have to ride it out. And let's be honest, at $34 million, at $72 million, he's probably, market value is probably worth more than that. Probably, you know, brings in and is responsible for more revenue than that to Barcelona. So they're just in such a difficult spot in general, and they're not going to pack it in. They're going to go down fighting. So,
but I guess
at least
example,
I mean, the contract's 5 years too. So that's, you know, at his age, getting a 5-year contract, that's even at half the money. You know, you ship him around. What would Man City pay for him for 2 or 3 years? You know, maybe the same.
I suppose, though, it's what happens when a club becomes so, so dependent on a brand, right? Forget the player, for example, here. Like you mentioned there, Craig. Yeah, we know what he can do on the field, but Messi is bigger than the player on the field, right? He is that brand. And Barcelona has become dependent on that brand and selling that brand. That's the danger. Perhaps clubs shouldn't allow that to happen. I don't know how you control it.
But their brand is also club greatness. So one of the greatest players of all time to leave.
Hey, B, sorry, your internet's really messing us up again here.
Oh, no. I was delivering a great line. Okay,
try again. You sound always good now. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want the listeners to miss out on that great line. So try again.
I was saying that their brand, Barcelona's club brand, is greatness. They certainly couldn't afford or couldn't allow themselves to let go of one of the greatest players of all time.
But how do you control that brand? That's my point, though. You know, they sold that brand, and the footballer on the field did his thing and obviously elevated himself to a certain standard, but they still sold that brand. At what point do you try and control that message as a football club and say, yeah, we've got some great players. We have David Beckham. We have Roy Keane, but Manchester United is still bigger than those players. I think in Barcelona's case, it's as if Messi became bigger than Barcelona, which seems impossible, but that's what's happened. And that's why they can't sell him without looking like they're just giving up. And the empire is falling, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just in general, like accepting that the times have changed. Could you imagine Barcelona becoming a selling club, essentially? You know, to part ways with Antoine Griezmann for Saul, to be honest, the way Griezmann performed, I don't think that it's as bad of a footballing decision as it would look financially. But the Barcelona are not the team that can afford to buy players for 30 million, let alone buy players for 100 million like they did for Griezmann. So I think it's accepting that new reality, which is, you know, the last thing these Iberian nations and the old rich would ever do. So I'm not surprised at all that Barcelona is not going to do it and, you know, continues to rack up the debt. And we'll continue to push some super league narrative or some type of revenue share that will, you know, allow them to remain amongst the top echelon. The reality is they're not able to stay there anymore. They're not able to compete with the big money in England and big money from PSG. And they're just hanging on as long as they can.
I would say that Bayern Munich, much like Barcelona, are not a selling club. Agreed? Agreed, right? They're a team that acquires, doesn't sell. I think you can all agree, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's reports this evening that they might be entertaining a move for Robert Lewandowski to Man City. Mm. Now, Lewandowski is 32 years of age. We know what he is. He's arguably the best center forward in world football and has been for the last 2 or 3 years at least. But he's 32, and Man City will pay a lot of money for him and pay him a lot of money. If Bayern Munich sell him, I think that makes business sense. Again, that's a club not allowing a player's brand to become bigger than their needs. Now, I'm not comparing Lewandowski to Messi. It's a different situation. I understand that. But for them to even think about selling Lewandowski tells me that they know exactly where their short-term and long-term future lies. And if you can cash in now and a guy is 32, isn't going to get any better. In fact, might start declining this season. It might be the right move.
They're also in a league, Sharms, that they dominate. And if you're a club in England, would you do the same? When you got that much competition going for championships? I mean, Bayern Munich are crushing the other teams as far as money.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I think too, it's just about recognizing, you know, when a player's past is best and you can replace that. And I think that they can sadly, they can replace Lewandowski's goals. Maybe it's amongst two players, but one of them they already have in Leroy Sané, who's unable to, I think, get the minutes that, you know, he would get on other clubs, or maybe the minutes that he deserves. I think that Lewandowski is very much in that Thierry Henry zone right now, where it's where Wenger thought that here's a player I can still get some value from, and his best days are behind him. And I still think Lewandowski could come to the Premier League and score 20 goals, but I don't think you're going to see him continue to, you know, bag 40 a year as he has. Not in
sorry,
a different
guys.
League.
Since Craig's joined us, there's this little noise that keeps coming up on Craig's mic. What are you? Are you cooking like macaroni and cheese or something at the same time, Craig? Yeah. What
no,
is that?
Dan, I'm not
what
doing
is that?
Anything. I
You're
don't
doing something.
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm like trying to be really, really still. I'm like, you guys are really great. It's like, it's a pretty good show.
You're just enjoying listening to us. You're enjoying the spousal interviews that come in the middle of it. You're just enjoying the program.
Exactly. That was the highlight. Everybody's gone now anyway.
Okay, I thought you were doing some, you know, optimizing your sexual stuff with the belt and Michael Hutchins and all that.
We just can't trust you, Craig. We can't see you. We can't trust you.
Wow, you guys dropped that down just because you can't see me. Dan Wong, nothing like Wonger to take it down a little level.
I was thinking, who was the guy from Kung Fu? What was David Carradine?
Yeah, basically, what you're doing here, Wonger, is you're saying that auto asphyxiation is an option for Craig.
I'm just saying we don't know what hole he's climbing out of when he comes on the show.
I think what you just said is a bit in excess, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's
I guess
why
we're not
JC's
allowed to talk our minds on this show anymore.
Yeah.
We're sold out.
Yeah. Listen, well, you know where Craig lives, though, right? You do?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if we do hear some gagging in a second, we can direct authorities to the address, is what I'm saying.
Craig, use the multi-hold belt.
What's your safe word?
What is your safe word? Gregor,
Let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you a little story.
Gather around the hearth.
Yeah, Wonger, you be quiet. Wonger takes me away last Saturday. We go up to his lovely girlfriend's, Tassie's friend's cottage and have a really good time, whatever. But before that, we get there and they get to the dock and she runs off and takes the garbage. And I go with a couple of the younger sort of 15, 16-year-old kids and they're going to get ice cream and I'm going to go pay for the ice cream. And at the same time, they were filling the boat up and the kid comes out and goes, oh, I got to pay for the gas. So I said, oh, well, here, take my card that I was going to pay for the ice cream with, right? He goes off, comes back, goes, geez, I didn't think tap would work for $700.
No.
I said, $700 for gas for the boat?
Yeah.
Why? Oh my God. So
I was like, I'm a bit surprised myself.
So, what was it, a QE2?
Yes, exactly. No, really. It was just it was a beautiful Boston Whaler, but they used that to bomb back and forth from the island. So I told Wonger, enjoy the trip.
Craig doesn't know anybody. And he shows up and he's like, hey, just put the ice cream on my credit card. And the kid, super nice kid, but he gets the credit cards confused because he had his mother's too. And he puts it all on Craig's. Craig's just showed up as a friend. And he's already down $400.
Jesus.
Yeah, because it was $400. He was wrong. It wasn't actually $700 because I looked at my bank statement and it was actually only $300.
Oh, just the three. Was it good ice cream, though?
Oh, I didn't have to pay for that.
Oh, hey, win-win.
Exactly.
You're the popular guy there and you get free ice cream.
And I thought it was $700 all the weekend. So there you go.
No, they saw you. Oh, there's the ex-professional athlete. He's got loads of money. Let him pay for everything.
That was it.
No.
Did you find that, Craig? By the way, do you ever find that, Craig? You know, not anymore. But when you played football and you found yourself in a crowd of people somewhere, maybe in the off-season, that weren't professional athletes, did they all look at you and assume that you were filthy rich and like expected to pay and treat them like strangers?
Yeah, you had a little bit of that.
Hangers on.
Even when I left school in grade 11, so grade 12, obviously, well, in BC's graduation. So I'd been away for a year playing professional soccer, making 25 pounds a week, killing it. Amazingly, I managed to save money really for the holidays to get back home and do whatever. And yeah, they all presumed I was making tons of money.
Must have felt pretty good though as well, right? Even though you weren't, it must have kind of felt good that they thought you were and you live in this life of luxury.
Right?
Yeah. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
It was the same with TV when I was the Twitter guy at the Score. Nobody knew that I was legally poor.
But you go back home to Windsor with your mates from high school and strutting his stuff.
No, he was in the bus. It was in the bus stop.
Yeah, I was taking the bus.
The street from the Holiday Inn.
Gregor, then when did you feel like you made it, that you could buy a shout at the bar and feel okay about it?
You know, that's interesting. That's kind of a different term, really. I mean, having a little extra money. was nice, and obviously, I mean, treated my parents to different things and trips and whatnot. But you're always, it's interesting. You're always worried or thinking about what's next, and your contract's coming up in 3 years, 2 years, next year. You know, it's interesting that you're, and honestly, I was over there and I put my head down for as many years as I thought it would be. It turned out to be nearly 20, but it was like every year I was just kind of like, yeah, just put my head down, try and do well and make the next contract and save a little bit of money for when I go home sometime.
But over your shoulder, there's always that grating concern that, you know, something could happen.
That is the saddest answer to that question. I was waiting for something like, well, this one night we went out and I bought everything.
No, but Craig was always shatting himself about that injury that's around the corner.
I went out and had good times, let me tell you that much. It was fantastic.
When was the first, don't give us obviously specifics numbers, but when was that first difference making contract that made the jump from what you were on to, okay, now I've actually got a little bit of decent, some real money here. I can buy myself a nice car. Were you still very young? I mean, like what young, 22, 23, 20? How did it work back then?
Well, no, I mean, it was 92, so I'd have been 25, right? So I would say, honestly, it was the last part of being at Ipswich in the Premier League, probably the last year, because I signed a new contract there because they held my rights. And then when I went to West Ham was, you know, because it wasn't a great deal. Like in 1992, 95, I mean, it was going up like 15, 20%, 30% wages every year, but the starting point wasn't massive. It was big compared to the previous generation, like the John Warks of the world, you know, played at Liverpool. His top salary was 2,600 pounds a week. I mean, he was top goal scorer there at that time, you know. So, yeah, you're making 20 times, 10 times more than the average person. Everybody's like, wow, that's great. You know, I got to do that for 10 years. Well, now you got to work for 300 years to make what the players are making, the average guy, right?
Yeah, it's changed so much. I mean, you're 25 when you got that big contract, and I mean, you'd earned it up until that point. It made you probably really appreciate what you were getting, as opposed to, not to say kids nowadays, but you know, kids 18 signs his papers and suddenly he's on some really good coin.
Yeah, every generation, like you talked about with Alex McKechnie, he's been through it all and seen generations and generations of players come and go, retire, and so on. And he's like, yeah, I've never met an athlete that wasn't a generation too late.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Same can be said for podcasters. You know, this one day we'll be looking back and thinking, man, if only we started this podcast a year later, we would have been on the big money.
Well, guys, you saw your interact. You saw the emails I sent out.
Hey, we're officially professional podcasters, boys.
Professional podcasters. The crew of us. Yeah. All six of us.
When Wonger sent it to me, I thought it was for the gas.
Yeah. That's the amount.
Well, half of it.
I never knew that.
He literally was going to pay me back. And I go, what are you talking about? Why are you going to put more money to me?
I said, because I looked at my statement, I think it's only $300. Quinn said $700, but it's only $300 came out. So I don't know. So I said, I owe you $160.
He was going to give me money back.
Amazing.
He's like, don't pay me. I'm like, why not?
Because I had to explain it to him. I had to explain business to him.
Yeah, I never knew that Wonger's name was Daniel until I got that email.
I know.
Was it Danielle, actually?
Daniel Xavier or something, was it?
French. Daniel Joseph Wong.
That's right,
my name.
DJ. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always thought a great
sister.
A great French name would be, if I have a son, don't you think Didier Dunlop would be a great name?
It's
great
not bad. Name. You know, double D is never bad.
That's a lot to live up to.
Didier Dunlop.
Not the Dunlop.
The double D's?
No. The Didier part.
This is the thing, though. Hey,
you're right, Craig. That is a lot to live up to.
This I mean, the guy thing. Stopped wars.
but Didier, is it, well, what if maybe he's named after Didier Deschamps? Or maybe he's named after some actor. Isn't the, what's the most, that's Gerard Depardieu. I'm sure his dad.
Yeah, but there must be some really crap Didier somewhere.
Yeah, Didier is like the Steve of France,
like an average Didier. I can't think of one though.
That's the thing. It's not only athletic African greatness. It's a French name.
Very common.
Didier Deschamps, Didier Drogba, famous Didier.
Beyond football.
There must have been a French president Didier something.
Well, let's have a look here. On this weird internet database.
That's a lot for the tongue, though, isn't it?
Didier Dunlop?
All the time, like when you're mad.
Yeah, good point.
And then is it going to be shortened to Diddy?
Yeah, well, that's I wondered, right? And it's like, Toronto's Diddy. Not the most French-cultured place, is it? So a lot of people would get it wrong.
All right, hey, so
what would he be?
Here we go. The most famous person named Didier. Number one.
Drogba.
Correct.
Number two?
Number two is Didier Burkhalter.
Ooh.
It doesn't say who they are.
Cyclist? Who's that?
His fame meter is 4 out of 100, so he's not very famous.
4 out of 100? It's like,
That's like mine.
This guy, Didier Burkhalter, is... Oh, boy. This is a weird website.
This is a great show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All right. Charms, when did you first make it? When did you felt like you make it?
He's finding Didier's. Ask Jeff Cole when he first made it.
Second, here's one for you. B, Didier Pironi. Do you know who that is?
Oh, a Formula One driver?
Yeah, I'm assuming he's a race car driver. It's a picture of him in a race car outfit.
Didier
Morville looks like his name's Joey Starr. You know who Joey Starr is? He's like some kind of douchey rapper by the looks of things. His real name's Didier Morville. Didier Couche is number 7th most famous Didier. I have no idea who these people are, so it kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Didier Pironi, 72 Formula One races.
There's a hockey player. Didier Pitre is an old hockey player by the looks of things here.
Now, Didier Pironi died, and he was born in 1952 and died in 1987. So he must have died on the track.
Sadly, a lot of guys.
Not to bring this whole podcast down.
Way to go there, JC. Jesus.
No. Auto dead. Asphyxiation.
Auto asphyxiation.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Dead.
Let's Google dead Diggy Didier's.
Every time you pick up that beer, you're going to think of Pironi.
I also should state that I'm not having a child anytime soon. It's just a conversation that's been had, and Didier Dunlop, very strong name. As someone who grew up not really liking their name, I never thought Brendan was a strong name, and I often think that I really missed the boat getting into television and an opportunity to have chosen a stage name. My middle name is Felix. Don't you think Felix Dunlop would have
that's
been
a great name? I've made fun of you in the past for being named Felix, but it's actually a really great name.
And I apologize.
You still have a job.
Yeah, I would still have a job. You're right.
Probably. You can't fire a Felix Dunlop. No chance.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, I could be on Univision and Fox. Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to have Dunny's Licks.
Actually, if you had a Portuguese last name, that might have saved you too.
Some good Portuguese last names. Ferreira. Mm.
Oh, man. They got some good rings to them.
Gonzalez, with those five under the sea.
Churrascaria?
Yeah. What's that called in Portuguese? Brazilian. In French, it's called say cedi.
Yeah.
What's it called in Portuguese?
What is the accent called?
Oh, yeah, man, the five underneath the C.
I don't even know what it's actually called.
Hey, TFC can have games, guys?
And fans of games. 7,000 fans this weekend, isn't it?
This weekend already?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was worth mentioning.
Rumor.
To our red people.
Oh, wow.
People of red.
Fantastic news. Yep. Yep. CPL's back at the home stadiums July 30th weekend, and there should be fans at those games as well.
If only 7,000 are allowed, are they going to start taking money out of our accounts? How does that work?
Season tickets?
There's 20,000 season ticket holders. More.
You haven't heard? You haven't got an email?
I've got so many bloody emails. I've been missing important emails from Daniele Joseph Wong.
Gracias.
I would imagine that they would approach the all season ticket holders first. So there's 7,000 for the first game, then I believe 15,000 for their next home game. That's what's been, if not confirmed, then discussed. So before you know it, there'll be a nice COVID hotspot right around BMO Field. So look
should we be
that.
Getting media credentials soon? Are people going to be reaching out? Because we already have it for CPL.
Listen,
maybe we should do MLS media
think
credentials.
About, just think about that. Are they going to give out credentials to people that talk about auto asphyxiation on a sports podcast?
Yes, but there was a reference in Didier Pironi.
That legitimate
with their record right now, with their record right now, they'll be glad to be giving them. They'll be happy.
That's a good point.
Corner.
True.
Yeah.
Josie will be back, though. He seems like he's coming back.
Oh,
speaking of coming home.
That. I'm gonna try and sell that. They're so far deep in the trend, like they're so far down, like it's terrible.
So should we cancel our Chris Armas interview we lined up for the first game back? The Chris Armas years. One day we'll have a quiz about the Chris Armas years at TFC, and they'll be up against the Aaron Winter years at TFC.
And the Ryan Nelson.
And the Ryan Nelson years, yeah. And the Chris Cummins.
Yeah.
Have I ever told that story in here about the when MLSE had they emailed Sportsnet about my broadcasting and that I was basically too honest.
No, do tell.
I was really? It was a game where they were playing at Chicago. I think it was me and Jerry's 55th game, four wins or something. They didn't win that one either. And I said during the broadcast, I was like, well, you know, if they don't win this one, they got no chance of winning the playoffs or getting into the playoffs. Which they didn't. They lost and they weren't even close. But they actually thought that, no, because they're so used to their hockey and basketball guys that are in bed with them that just are just homers of all homers, right? So they're not used to somebody actually telling the truth or being honest about what they were saying. That's why the way, anyway, when we look at it, the Premier League broadcasters that are doing the international feed, they're not working for a club, you know, because over here in North America, these guys are all working for the club. If you say something where you're too negative too often, you're history.
Yeah.
It's not the
same. You got a slap on the wrist, Greg?
No, actually I didn't. I don't think you'd mind. Rob Corte said, you know, we direct our commentators to be as honest as they can, and because we think that's the best for the viewer. And, you know, sorry that you're, you know, I mean, they listen to it because they're probably like, whoa, you know, what did he do? What did he do?
Well, you know, Craig, you know how it was. I think in those days in particular, there was so much naivety around TFC behind the scenes. They didn't really understand sport, right? They're very good marketers. No. Salesman, fantastic, but they didn't understand sport, so they just didn't get that. Listen, guys, I hate to end this show early, and you guys can continue, but my Mac is about to go to zero power, and I've got my plugs in a box somewhere. I don't know where.
In the middle of moving.
Serious.
No, let's sign out.
Want to sign out? I apologize. Okay. So it's been what, 15 minutes or so, which is longer than I thought it'd be. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of the end of season two, right? Season two?
Sure.
It's a very short off season. We're back real soon with some really, really big news. But stay tuned the next couple of weeks, and we'll fill you in all our social platforms. But, boys, thank you very much. It's been fun.
Go Canada.
Yeah. Go Canada.
The Gold Cup.
Hey,
wouldn't
listen,
it be nice if there's just a small percentage of the followed it at the same level they follow Euro when it's our trophy. It's there's only two we can go for. It's the Gold Cup and the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Canadian public can pay more attention to the national team for sure, but you watch a lot of the Euro. How many of those games did you want 90 minutes of your life back? And how many do you think in the Gold Cup you're going to wish you didn't watch Martinique and Guatemala?
Oh, I'm not saying even that, but just the Canadian national team itself, you know. Are people, the odd Canadian flag you see around in Canada, are they doing it because it was July
first a few weeks ago, or they do it because they're a national team. It's not our national team. I think some people do it because they're like, oh, all those Italians got their flags out. You know, I'm putting my Canadian flag out. Fucking old white guys down
there. There is quite a few of that, though. Yeah.
Well, let's end it there, shall we? On some nationalism and some hate. It's a fitting way to end this podcast. Yes.
I'm going to get an Italian flag, too, and put it all over my car.
All right, well, listen, boys, thank you so much. Craig, be careful with that belt. JC, thank you. Wonga, thank you. B, thank you. Deech, wherever you are, maybe when we return to the airwaves in a couple of weeks' time, you'll be here to join us. Let's hope so, shall we? This has been Footy Prime. Thank you very much, Amsterdam Brewery. Thank you very much, DeanBlundell.com. Thank you very much, you, the listener. For whatever reason it is, you tune in each week. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.